Just want to welcome all of you. As I stated in the beginning, this is a very special week for Christians all over the world. And I hope this is an important week for you. We call this Passion Week. Passion means suffering, right? And Christianity is about suffering of our God. And we talked about this. If you could just look up here. Yeah, look up here, please. Okay. Without his suffering and death as a ransom, you and I would have no chance when we stand before God. No chance. Absolutely no chance. Today, I want to talk about the topic that maybe you would say you wouldn't want to argue with me, okay? The wrath of God, okay? Wrath of God. Did you ever see me get angry? Some of you have, right? And you don't want to see it, right? But can you imagine you offend me every single day, and I just kind of like hold on to it, okay? Say, son, let's say, offend me every single day. And I just hold on to, you know, my anger toward him for like weeks. And then I blow up on him. That won't be a fun thing, I don't think. But can you imagine the wrath of holy God upon your entire life poured out at once? And you know what? The scripture is teaching that that day is waiting for you. Okay? That day is waiting for you. Let me just quote D.A. Carson, which I thought it was very provocative. It's not, but to you and maybe to us, it might sound provocative. Okay? Let me just read it. The cliche, God hates the sin but loves the sinner, cliche, is completely false. Okay? On the face of it, and should be abandoned. Okay? And he's arguing, 14 times in the first 50 Psalms alone, we were told that God hates the sinners. God hates the sinners and liars. 14 times, just in 50 Psalms, right? And his wrath is on the liar and so forth. And in the Bible, the wrath of God rests both on the sin and upon the sinner as well. Did you know that? Wrath of God resting upon you if you reject Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verse 36, if you reject the Son of God, the wrath of God, open the Bible and read it later, right? If you reject him, the wrath of God resting upon you. Resting upon you. That sounds harsh. That doesn't sound like God of love. That doesn't sound like the God that I've been hearing all my life. Well, you need to hear the true person of God. God is love and God is holy. Which one more? Perfectly love and perfectly holy. And you cannot diminish one over the other. You can't. You can't do that. God is perfectly, infinitely love and infinitely holy. Maybe you have a problem with that, but that's who he is. Okay? And you say, oh, he's not fair. Yes, he is. You're not fair, but he is. You know, we talk about this many, many, many times. You're not fair. We human beings are not fair. We are very, very lopsided, okay? We just can't be fair people. But God is fair, and we have the evidence of that. Okay, so I hope this draw your attention, because the wrath of God is resting upon you. Little or old doesn't matter. Those who reject Christ, wrath of God resting upon you. Wrath of God. How much wrath? Someone described like this. There is a Hoover Dam in state of Colorado. I've never seen it. Okay? Let's say they close the dam for about 1 month. Can you imagine the water piling up behind it? Miles and miles and miles of water piling up. Hoover Dam, right? Big dam, right? And can you imagine you open it after a couple months of closing that dam, and the water just perhaps like a Niagara Falls. I heard someone describing the wrath of God, something like this. You're like a daisy, little daisy, yellow flower, and the water, a Niagara Falls, falls upon you eternally. That's the wrath of God. Okay? Today, cross number two, John Stott says, if you crystallize Christianity, it's the cross. You need to understand it. Okay? We talked about ransom, which has to do with slavery. We are all slaves. Without him paying the ransom, the payment, you live and die as a slave, and you go to where your master is after you die. And that's eternal punishment. We talked about that. And today, a word that you may think, oh, we don't need to know this word because it may be just too complicated, but it is a very biblical word, propitiation, okay? Propitiation, it's not a hard word. It means a peace, okay? A peace what? The wrath of God. Did you know that? It's right in the Bible. In fact, it is in a very important place in the Bible, Romans chapter 3, which I'm gonna share with you. This is something basic of Christianity, basic of the basic Christianity. I really think it is. Okay, so propitiation, which has to do with appeasement or amendment, okay, or satisfying God's wrath that you're going to get because it is resting upon you, okay? And NIV renders a little bit differently, okay, atoning sacrifice. And if you look up the dictionary for atonement, it means amendment. Same thing, propitiation, same word, okay? And sacrifice, right? Romans chapter 3, very important section of the entire Bible. I mean, every section is important, but Romans chapter 3 is very, very important section. After Paul describes absolute sinfulness of you, why you deserve hell, all of you. Absolute depravity of men, wickedness of men. And he describes the gospel of Jesus Christ. And this is the sort of like the transition, right? Romans chapter 3, verse 22 says, for all, there is no distinction. All have sinned, all of you. Okay? Churchgoers, not churchgoers, Asians and white, doesn't matter. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified or become righteous by his grace, which is a gift, as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yeah, it's a loaded statement, so we're not going to spend a lot of time, but I want to look at verse 25, which is the word where the word propitiation comes from, and whom God put forward. That's really interesting if you could think with me. God put forward Jesus as a propitiation. We talked as a propitiation, and this is the word that has to do with amending and bring peace and appease the wrath of God that is heading towards you. Every sinner on the face of the earth. Okay? So forward as a propitiation, atoning sacrifice, by his blood. So it is through, okay, that's the agent, by his blood to be received by faith, and this is to show God's righteousness and holiness. We already talked about this. God is love, and God is righteous and holy. You cannot say, oh, God is love, but I'm not sure about this, right? You can't do that, because in his divine forbearance, you know, I told you about that, he's very patient with you. If he's not, none of us would be sitting here, period. So it's like a Hoover Dam. I mean, it's much worse, of course. He's just holding. You're continue to offend him. You continue to ignore him. You continue to, you know, rebel against him. But he's holding. How much breath from an infinitely holy God to an absolutely wicked human beings like you and I? How much forbearance? And he had passed over former sins. Okay, so we want to look at this word, propitiation, okay? Just want to quickly explain. Atoning sacrifice, I think, is pretty self-explanatory. Sacrifice brings atonement. Does it make sense, right? That's what the Old Testament sacrificial system is. I found some gruesome pictures on Google, but I decided to use this cartoon. It was just too gruesome. But if you could imagine the true Old Testament sacrifice, basically you kill animals and you take the blood. Can you imagine the amount of blood? On a day of Passover, which is a very special day for the Jews, they used to kill in Jerusalem thousands of lambs, thousands. Can you imagine? So what is this about? What is this sacrificial thing about in the Old Testament? Why do that, right? Through sacrifice of an animal, it brings an atonement or propitiation, okay? That's the whole concept. And I want to describe, and this is the three words you want to memorize, and you really put it in your heart. What is sacrifice about? Penalty, substitutionary, okay, and death. Penal, substitutionary, death. Let me explain really quick. What is this? It's the penalty. Penalty of what? Penalty of offense. Penalty of sin. Penalty of just you know, hating God. Right? Between Israelites and God of Israel. Okay? You're paying the penalty. How? Through death. Penalty. Substitutionary. What does that mean? Somebody else is taking your place. You committed sin, but animal dies. Does that make sense to you? It really doesn't make sense. Of course, in the ancient time, and that's what people did to deities, right? But God has given this system. When you offend God, somehow you bring an animal, and the animal dies on your behalf with your repentant heart, he take that as atonement or propitiation and forgives you. What do you think? Just can you think with me? Wow, that's grace. That sounds like grace, doesn't it? You should die. You should die every single year, every single day, in fact. But God allows you to have peace with him, and he forgives you when you bring an animal. What's an animal? Right? But that's the whole system of sacrifice. Someone else died for you. Substitutionary. Penal. Penalty. What's the penalty? Death. But is that it? That there is more. The wrath of God. Wrath of God. Okay, so that's what atoning sacrifice propitiation is. Penal, substitutionary death. Instead of I die and shed blood and be burnt, animal does. Okay, that's Old Testament covenant. And this is also atoning sacrifice. I don't know whether you can see it. This is the cross, right? And you see the animal substitute, which is what I'll be sharing this Friday, Good Friday. I hope you come. Okay. Why? Penal, substitutionary death. And the wrath of God was poured upon him on the cross. Brothers and sisters, could you just hold for a moment? Do you remember what Jesus said to James and John last week as I was sharing? He said, can you take the cup that I drink And can you be baptized with the baptism that I'm baptized with? The cup represents the wrath of God. And I was thinking about this week, and I ask you to think about with me, how big is the cup that he had to drink? If it is the wrath that is equivalent to your sin of your entire life, 20 years, 15 years, how big is the cup? How big is the cup for 100 people? It's a thought, isn't it? I mean, that these are good thoughts. This kind of theological thinking will really help your soul. You need to do this, okay? If it is like the Hoover Dam, right, that was kind of like stopped for a month. Can you imagine how much water piled up behind it? But it's been held for 2,000 years. No, 6,000 years from Adam's sin. How much wrath is that? How much has been held behind him? And God, infinitely holy God, infinitely righteous God, infinitely hating sin, evil God, holding on, and he's holding on. Do you know, someone said, Matthew Henry said, his mercies are new every day to his people, but his wrath is new every day to the sinners. And I don't think he's exaggerating, because he's infinitely holy. Atoning sacrifice. Okay, Romans 1:16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. Do you see the power of God right there? Power of God to propitiate sin of humanity. That's the power of the gospel for salvation to everyone who believes. First for the Jews and for the Greek. For it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith. And it is written, the righteousness shall live by faith. But this is the verse that I wanted to show you. Right after that, verse 18, listen to this. For the wrath of God, as opposed to the righteousness of God, wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, okay, and unrighteousness of men by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Can I just think with you for a moment? I don't know whether you ever heard about the wrath of God, but today you are listening. And my first question is the wrath of God biblical? Yes, it is. Okay? Wrath of God is biblical. Okay? How real is the wrath of God? Is as real as the righteousness of God and the wrath of God. Okay? Think with me like this. God is holy, infinitely holy, extremely holy, pure, perfect, holy. And the other extreme, there is evil, sin, unrighteousness. Can you imagine God who is infinitely holy and has no hatred toward that sin and evil? He doesn't care. Does that make sense to you? Very logically. He doesn't care about evil. He doesn't care about sin. He doesn't care about all these unrighteousness and nothing. He doesn't care. He's just all by himself. He's infinitely just holy. That does not make sense. That's not biblical God. God, that's why, has such hatred, literally, toward evil and unrighteousness. Does that make sense to you? I hope it does. And he literally hates, abhors sin, evil, unrighteousness, unholiness. Okay? I hope you're listening. So we don't make up some sort of God that you imagine. That's the holiness of God. And the love of God must destroy what is bring pain and destruction to his loved ones. He must destroy sin. And he does. He will. He already has on the cross, and he will when on the day of judgment. Absolutely will. Okay? Just think about it. God's wrath. Where is that from? It's from heaven. It's unlike yours or mine. We get angry too, you know? We see, someone cut me off while I'm driving an LIA and you curse that idiot. And then you step on the gas and you try to, do the same. We get mad. It's not that kind of wrath, but it is holiness of God, which is apart from sin, apart from all kinds of unrighteousness. That's holy wrath. Someone shared, wrath of God is not intrinsic attribute of God, but is a function of God. Let me explain what that means. God is love, Bible says, right? That's his intrinsic nature. God is love. But God is not, God, we can't say God is just wrath. No, we can't say that. But because he is holy, he has to hate evil. That's a function of the nature of God. Otherwise, apart from that, how do you say he's infinitely holy? Think with me, right? So the wrath of God is real. And wrath of God is new every morning. Oh, that's a scary thought, isn't it? It's rest upon you. And only thing that is holding you alive is the hand of God upon sinner, Jonathan Edwards wrote. Only thing you're breathing right now is because of his grace. I hope you think about that. Okay? J.I. Packer, God's wrath is his righteousness, holiness, against the unrighteousness, ungodliness. God is on this extreme. He's holy. He's righteous. Evil is unrighteous. Do you understand that? Right? One more thing. J.I. Packer shared, if we do not preach about sin and God's judgment on it, we cannot present Christ as a savior from sin and from the wrath of God. Okay? And if we are silent about these things, and preach a Christ who saved only from self and sorrows of this world, therapeutic gospel, right? We are not preaching the Christ of the Bible. Such preaching may soothe you, some of you, but it will not save you. He said, help you, but it'll not save you, right? And let me finish. For Christ who is not seen and sought as a savior from sin will not be found to save from self or from anything else. I think it's so real. Someone said, if you could just think with me, Jesus is my Savior, and my question to you is, Savior from what? Jesus is my Savior, Savior from what? Savior from my self-image, bad self-image. Savior from my poor memory of my not-so-good family or past. Is that what it is? Is that what it is? Is that it? You got to be kidding. Of course, those are byproducts, good byproducts of it. But you know what the bottom line is? He's the Savior from the wrath of God that is coming towards you. R.C. Sproul, he's the Savior from the wrath of God that is coming towards you. Today's text, just gonna read it with you. It'll make sense. For those of you who are not familiar with the Bible, Leviticus is really about Old Testament sacrifice, and Hebrews is about new covenant and new sacrificial system. Basically, the author of the Hebrews is saying, this is the better sacrificial system, which is through the cross of Jesus Christ. Okay, with that as a summary, let's read this together, okay? Every priest stands daily at his service, he's talking about the Old Testament, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Oh, man, Old Testament sacrificial system, animals could never take away sins. Then why bothered? Okay, he explains. Okay. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice, which refers obviously to the cross, for sins, he sat down now at the right hand of God, which is in the Holy of Holies, right? Waiting from the time until his enemy should be made a footstool before his feet, which means the day of judgment. Bible always talks about this, folks. Don't be naive, all right? Please don't be naive. And verse 14 says, for by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Two sacrificial systems. One is the Old Testament sacrificial system of the animals. You kill lambs and goats and bulls and pigeons. Bloody. But it does not, what does it say? It does not take away the sin. It just reminds you. It just reminds you that, oh man, sin, guilt. I have to come back here again. Right? Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the Holy of Holies, by the blood of Jesus, we're talking about the cross, right? New sacrificial system. With the blood of Jesus, you go in like a priest. Okay, and by the new and living way, we open for us through the curtain, which is his flesh. In the Old Testament time, no one dared to go into the temple, only the priest, and into a place, innermost holy place called Holy of Holies, where the presence of God is. Only high priest once a year. Leviticus chapter 16 talks about that day. How many of you heard of the term Yom Kippur, New Yorkers? You know what that means? Yom Kippur means a day of atonement. Leviticus 16:16. Okay? So the high priest take the blood of the goat. I'm going to explain a bit more in detail on Friday. Take the blood, right? You have to have the blood. Otherwise, you go in and you die in the holy presence of God. And you walk into the Holy of Holies and you sprinkle this blood of the goat and place something called mercy seat, which is the golden plate of Ark of Covenant, and that represents the very presence of God and holiness of God. And you sprinkle blood on it. What is he doing? He's propitiating. Here's a really incredible thing. The word mercy seat, okay? And that Old Testament is translated into Latin. It's called Vulgate. And that mercy seat is translated as propitiatum, propitiation. That atoning sacrifice, propitiation, is the mercy seat in the presence of the Holy of Holies. And you sprinkle the blood, and blood appeases the wrath of God. Could it be coincident? No, absolutely not. In the Old Testament, it was the temple, Holy of Holies. You have to have the blood. But Jesus comes, one single sacrifice. He's the priest, and he's the animal. He takes his blood, and he sprinkles, and propitiates the wrath of God. Wrath of God that remains on you. Make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters. Scripture says those who reject Christ, the wrath of God remains on you. Okay? If we go on sinning, Christians, listen carefully, okay? Because people always try to justify their lifestyle. Listen carefully, okay? If you go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, that's, I hope none of you, but there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of a judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses die without mercy on the evidence of the two or three witnesses. How much more, how much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has trampled underfoot the Son of God? Profane the blood of the covenant by which he has sanctified and has outraged the Spirit of grace. Wow, this is pretty harsh. People who heard the gospel many, many, many times. I think that's you. That's me. That's Korean or American Christians. You heard the gospel so many times. You have. You grew up in your church all your life. But you continue to go on sinning. Scripture says, what you're doing is trampling underfoot the Son of God. Profane the blood of the covenant. And outrage the Spirit of grace. For you know him who said, vengeance is mine. The day of judgment is coming. It's coming. Okay? Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. Okay? I want to just pause because Christianity, in my opinion, to so many, is a joke. It's a joke. But I ask you to please take a look at me. Don't turn your face away from me. This is no joke. This is not. To so many, it's a joke. Oh, he's love. He forgives me. He loves me. He has a great plan for me. He does. And you believe he hates sin, but he loves sinners. Mm-mm. Not according to the scripture. The wrath of God remains upon sinners. You're trampling under your feet the name of Jesus. You're outraging the Spirit of grace. I really want to take a moment because I see this again and again and again. And you get raged. Why? This is Jonathan Edwards. You can read the whole transcript of his sermon. The title is Sinners in the Hand of Angry God, which comes from right here, right? Right here. The Sinners from Hand of the Angry God, Jonathan Edwards. I'm just going to read a little bit, okay? The bow of God's wrath is bent. It's bent. It's bent. And the arrow made ready on the string. And justice bends the arrow at your heart and strains the bow. And it is nothing but the mere pleasure of God and that of an angry God, without any promise or any obligation at all, that keeps the arrow one moment from being made drunk with the blood. Oh, I know that's harsh. Jonathan Edwards, this is the greatest theologian, preacher America has produced in American history. Okay, people, you do not want to continue to push God to the limit. You do not want to do that. Time's up. Time's up. Okay. I'm going to skip this. Okay. Can I give you the good news? I know you hear this all the time. I don't even know it is such a good news to you anymore. But let me give you good news. People who have heard this like 100 times and continually trample it, it may not be such a great news to you, but this is the good news. I really ask you to listen to this one more time, okay? The most violent expression of God's wrath and justice seen in the cross. God is unfair. Why did he push forward Jesus as a propitiation then? Why did he send him as a ransom? Why can't he just like erase everything? Why can't he do that? You know why? Because he's God of justice. As opposed to you and I, we always want to cut corners. If you think about it, we do. Right? If ever a person had room to complain for injustice, it was Jesus. He was the only innocent man ever to be punished by God. If we stagger at the wrath of God, let us stagger at the cross. Here is where our astonishment should be focused. Does that make sense to you? I hope this makes sense to you. And how many times have you heard this message? And you continue deliberately living on sin. And you continue to justify yourself. That's the way it's supposed to be. Really? Show this last week. Picture from the Passion of Christ. I know some of you saying, oh, that's just a little bit too much for youth group. No, it's not. Youth group, please take a look at this. Youth group, yeah, look up here. Please take a look at this. Right? Passion of Christ. What is he doing? What is he doing? He's paying your ransom. He's your payment. What is he doing? He's taking on the wrath of God on your behalf. I don't think we'll ever understand what that means. You have never seen my wrath, really. Can you even imagine how much more the wrath of God? The size of the cup, and he's going because God put him forward. And this is good. And it is pleasing in the sight of God because he's the only mediator, right? He is my ransom and he's my propitiation. Folks, I just pray that the Spirit of God will minister to your heart. Yeah, I'm going to skip. I just pray that we don't go on living in sin anymore. Time's up. Time's up, people. The wrath of God remains on you. It remains on you. I'm just delivering the word of God. I'm too young. I'm in youth group. No, it remains on you. You understand what I'm saying. It remains on you. Jesus is my propitiation. And God put him forward as my propitiation by his blood so I could receive it by faith. What an amazing, amazing message that is, if you think about it. Let's just bow.